भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're reading from the ninth canto, which is on liberation. And this is the 19th chapter. It's King Yayati Achieves Liberation. I'm going to read text number 11 and 12. They both have short purports and they're related, so I'll read both verses. But let's chant the first one together, text number 11. Sambhara Varshana Sopi Sambhara Vrishana Sopi Hi Ajaya Kupa Labdhaya Hi Ajaya Kupa Labdhaya Kalam Bahu Titam Badre Kalam Bahu Titam Badre Kamar Nadyapi Tushati Kamar Nadyapi Tushati Sambandha Varshana Sopi Hiyajaya Kupalabdaya Kalam Bahutitam Badre Kamar Nadyapi Tushati Sambandha Vrishana Sopi Hiyajaya Kupalabdaya Kalam Bahutitam Badre Kamar Nadyapi Tushati. Vaishnavis. Sambandha Rishana rejoined with his testicles. Saha, he, Api also. He indeed. Ajaya with the she-goat. Kupalabdaya, whom he got from the well. Kalam, for a time. Bahutitam, of a long, long duration. Badre, oh my dear wife. Kamai, with such lusty desires. Na, not. Adya api, even until now. Tushati, is satisfied. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My dear wife, when the he-goat had his testicles restored, he enjoyed the she-goat he had gotten from the well. But although he continued to enjoy for many, many years, even now he has not been fully satisfied. Purport. When one is bound by affection for one's wife, one is attached to sexual desires that are very difficult to overcome. Therefore, according to Vedic civilization, one must voluntarily leave his so-called home and go to the forest. Pancharadvam banam bhajet. Human life is meant for such tapasya or austerity. By the austerity of voluntarily stopping sex life at home and going to the forest to engage in spiritual activities in the association of devotees, one achieves the actual purpose of human life. So let's go to text number 12. Tataham kripana subru bhavatya prema yantritaha atmanam nabhijanami mohitastava mayaya. My dear wife, with beautiful eyebrows, I am exactly like that he-goat. For I am so poor in intelligence that I am captivated by your beauty and have forgotten the real task of self-realization. Purport. If one remains a victim of the so-called beauty of his wife, his family life is nothing but a dark well. Hitvatma pitam griham andakupam. Existence in such a dark well is certainly suicidal. If one wants relief from the miserable conditions of life, one must voluntarily give up his lusty relationship with his wife. Otherwise, there is no question of self-realization. Unless one is extremely advanced in spiritual consciousness, household life is nothing but a dark well in which one commits suicide. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that in due time, at least after one's 50th year, one must give up household life and go to the forest. Vanam gatoya tadim asrayata. There one should seek the shelter at the lotus feet of Hari. Jaya Om Gyana Tamananda Shyakinanjana Salakaya. Chakshusunitamena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Upakatamayam Dadanti Swapatantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Vishnudaya Krishna Sthaya Bhutale Srimati Jayapadaka Swamini Tilamne. Namo Vishnudaya Krishna Sthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tilamne. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gurvani Pacharini Nirvasesha Sunivadi Paschachadi Satadine. Okay, let's read the text again. So this is right after he finished the analogy or the joking words between the husband and the wife, which is the reason why he's telling this story, is because actually he wants to renounce. So he's very merciful and is trying to give this point to his wife so she can understand. even though it's like a joke, but it's true. It's actually himself. He's like laughing at himself. My dear wife, when the he-goat had his testicles restored, he enjoyed the she-goat he had gotten from the well. But although he continued to enjoy for many, many years, even now he has not been fully satisfied. My dear wife with beautiful eyebrows, I am exactly like the he-goat, for I'm so poor in intelligence that I'm captivated by your beauty and have forgotten the real task of self-realization. So, just to kind of lighten it up a little, maybe we could start off with a little joke I heard one time. Someone approached God and said, "Why did you make women so beautiful?" And he said, "So that you can love her." But then he said, "Why did you make them so dumb?" And he said, "So that she can fall in love with you." So it goes both ways. So this is the Maya of the material world. We all are attracted to something beautiful. Prabhupada even uses his own life as an example. He said, "I didn't really like my wife. I wanted a more beautiful wife." So he was actually planning to find another woman that, you know, he really liked, he was attracted to. But his father, being a pure devotee, he actually encouraged him not to do that. He actually pleaded with him and said, "Please, don't do that, because it will be a hindrance to your spiritual life." And so Srila Prabhupada, grateful to the instructions of his father, desisted on that. And who knows, if Prabhupada wouldn't have done that, we may not even be here. He may still be married or something. Who knows? Of course, Srila Krishna is in charge, and this is Prabhupada giving us some lessons. So in the same way, it's described how, you know, to make mistakes, we learn by our mistakes, right? You know, we grow stronger, we learn. But even better than that is to learn from other people's mistakes. And in that way, you save time. So here we're seeing King Yayati, he made a major mistake. I mean, he lived for a long time. I mean, thousands and thousands of years. And he finally realized, I mean, he had material desires. And it was embarrassingly, shamelessly, not afraid to show that he had material desires, to the point that he begged his sons to please give me your youth so that I could enjoy more. So just see the shameless material desires to enjoy in this material world is attracted. So, but he fulfilled them in a Krishna conscious way, actually. It's not that he became irresponsible for his wife. He took care of his wife, satisfied her. But he was also responsible to the citizens. And it's described that he ruled them like an affectionate father. So this is very nice. There's actually one story my Guru Maharaj tells, Sri Jayapataka Maharaj, from the Padma Purana. And it's the same King Yayati who lived millions of years ago. And this might have happened during the time when he was ruling the citizens. I don't know if it was before he got cursed or it was after he got cursed. I'm not sure. But anyway, he was preached to by a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord. And he told him that, you know, the demigods are subordinate to Krishna and that we should chant the Hare Krishna mantra and spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And he actually did that. He got everybody to chant Hare Krishna. You know, he taught people how to perform sacrifices and serve Krishna. And what was the result of that? There was actually no old age. There wasn't any disease or even death in his kingdom for 3 generations. In fact, it was so nice that Indra even became envious. And he said, "What is going on here? I'm in charge of this, you know. The demigods are in charge. They have their plans, right? And Krishna has his plan." So he said, "What is going on?" And so he went down and checked out what's going on. And everybody's chanting Hare Krishna. Everybody's blissful. Nobody's dying. No disease. You know, nobody's going down to Yamaraj. Nobody's, you know, it's like, so he's like, Let's go see what's happening down in the hellish planets. There's nobody there. The Yamadutas are just like, you know, bored and nothing to do, nobody to torture, and you know. So he said, this is ridiculous. So he went back and he told some of his followers, I guess the Gandharvas and Cupid, to go down there and make this king fall down. This is my kingdom. So he went down there and they tried to tempt the king, Yayati. But the king, he was unbudged because he was satisfied. He was actually in a fortress. He was married. He was satisfied with his wife. He couldn't be swayed away. So they went back to Indra and said, you know, this is what happened. I mean, he's well situated. He's chanting Hare Krishna. He's got a good association. The whole world is chanting Hare Krishna. So he said, no, I don't want this. Stop it. Do whatever you want. I don't care. So they created this whole plot that took years to actually make the king fall down. But it was an interesting story that Cupid actually went down there and he became a director of a drama troupe. And he had all these, you know, these Gandharvas, and they do all these Krishna conscious plays. So they became very famous to the point where they even got the king's confidence so they could perform for the king. So they got a darshan with the king. So then Cupid said, now's our chance. So as soon as the king gets absorbed, I'm going to make an offense. I'm going to blaspheme the Lord. And just by him hearing a blasphemy of the Lord, see, if you hear a blasphemy of the Lord or his devotees, you actually lose your protection, your protective shield, and Maya could come in. So they're doing this performance, and all of a sudden he makes this blasphemous remark to Krishna, and the king was like shocked. And at that point he said, okay then, Cupid, then you shoot these arrows and you get him. So he actually did. He shot the arrows, and at the same time he told the Gandharvas, okay then, you drop all your clothes and then the king will see you. So this happened, and the king was like shocked. And then, you know, he got shot, and then he saw this woman who's like attracted almost. But then he caught himself, you know, like 30 seconds. And because he fell down for that 30 seconds, he had lost his youth 30 years. So somehow or another, he's always losing his youth. So he aged 30 years during that time. So anyway, I guess the story goes on. And then we're today talking about Kidayati. So this is a very wonderful story that we're learning from other people's mistakes to save time. You know, they talk about time management. You make a list, you know, all the tasks you should be doing today. You know, A, B, C, check them off, bullet points, whatever. You know, it's supposed to save you time, save you money, and make you money. But why don't we make a list of what you should not do? Won't that save you a lot of time? How many thousands of years King Yati wasted, and he regretted it, that I've wasted so much time just being attracted to your wonderful eyebrows and your beautiful form and the sensual enjoyment with your body. He's so attracted. And this is what happens today. We have so many attractions and distractions. This is the human. I heard someone say that, I don't know if anybody here is Greek, but there's a Greek word for human, which I forget the word, but it means that a human is someone who always looks up or looks forward, is always looking. So wherever you look, that's where you're going to go. So here we are in the material world. We're looking at so many distracting things, and that's where we're going, right? We're seeing billboards. We're seeing this, so many attractive gadgets and things. I mean, you see people, they're just like looking completely absorbed in their things of mass distraction, right? We're so distracted today in so many things. But it's not the things that is attractive, but what's really attractive is who you are. And because the king, he was actually doing things religiously, he was a devotee, and actually secretly, he wanted to become a devotee of Krishna. Even though externally he was engaged in the sense gratification, he always wanted to really become a devotee of Krishna and give his life to Krishna. So after it took him this long, he wasted so much time, and then he finally realized, and he's just finished his story telling his wife that You know, after enjoying so long, I still am not satisfied. Even now, I'm not satisfied. Then he talked about how to actually become satisfied, is that now we must give up. We must give up this sense enjoyment. Voluntarily, you have to desire to give it up. And these are the main things to how you get what you want, is you have to have a desire. And that's why in the beginning, in the youth, in the Vedic culture, the young children, are, especially the boys, taken to the Gurukul. And they're being trained in character. You know, what is character? Develop good qualities like self-control, give up lust, greed, anger, you know, control yourself. And with these things, he's controlling himself properly. He develops his character. So this is very important that one develop. Prabhupada said, you know, he's confirmed that we have to develop this. And what are the main things that he develops is that he has to have self-control, character, and that he has to learn to care for others. So he's selfless. So from youth, we learn, even the boys enter the Gurukul, and the woman is trained at home in chastity and dedication and service attitude. So when you do grow up with these qualities, this is what's really attractive. But you see that today, there's no training. People are just mad after sense gratification. No self-control. We have major companies, businesses, governments, who are just interested and selfish in just whatever they can get, no matter what the cost is to other people. So therefore, there's pollution. There's so much disease. There's dissatisfaction because of this one thing, no character. So this is what the Krishna Consciousness Movement is meant to develop, is to develop people with this character in mind so that they can go and get free from this material enjoyment. So there's an analogy I heard. It's very nice how it's described by Prahlada Maharaj that we're in this well. This family life is like a dark well where there's only death. And you could imagine you're walking in a field, very high grasses, you know, and there's trees around and things. You can't really tell what's you walk. You're just walking through the grass. It's tall. And all of a sudden you fall down into this well. And you're like, ah. And then you just bounce on this huge root, that's, you know, like running across the well. You land on that root and you grab on it and you're hanging on there for dear life. And you're like grateful that I didn't fall all the way down. And so that was a root that saved you. But you're looking down and what do you see? There's a black snake. And you're like, wow, I'm glad I didn't fall on that dangerous snake. And then all of a sudden he hears some noise up above. And up above there's a roar of the lion. And it's like, whoa, what's up and down? It's like wherever I look. And then all of a sudden he heard some noise on the side of him, you know, like chewing. And there's a rat on one side. It's a black rat and it's chewing the root. And it's like, oh no. And then on the other side there's a white rat and it's chewing the other side of the root. But all of a sudden, there's some stuff dripping down on his face, and he's like, you know, what is that? From the tree above, it's dripping down. There's actually a beehive, and there's some honey dripping down from the hive, honey cone. And then it's like, he's like, oh, and he's like, lets it fall in his mouth, and he's enjoying. Oh, this is nice. So this is what it's like in the material world. We're surrounded by dangers. What's the result? You're just going to die? That's why we came here, just to come here and breathe for some time, enjoy our senses, and then you die, and that's it. And all in the meantime, you just suffer. Even though the King Yati was enjoying so much, still he was suffering. And he realized that this sense enjoyment is just the cause of so much misery. So that's why he wanted to give it up. So what is the snake? The black snake is death. The white rat and the black rat is time, is day and night. And the lion is Durga. She's carrying the trident of the three miseries. Adibodhik, Adidaivik, and Adiatmik miseries. So this is our position in the material world. So, and as we see, the king is disgusted now with his sexual enjoyment and all the bad effects from what that means. So, thinking of that renunciation, that's why the king is telling this story. And he's realizing, he said, I enjoyed for thousands of years, but I couldn't get any satisfaction. It's just like if you have a fire and you try to put it out by pouring ghee on it. It doesn't get rid of the fire. It just increases it, and it just agitates it more and more, aggrieves it. So this is what lusty desires do. If you try to satisfy them, it just becomes worse and worse. And so he realized, I didn't actually take the real interest in life, which is self-realization. And there's a nice verse coming up, which goes something like this. One who knows that material happiness, whether pious or impious. So the king was actually enjoying material happiness piously. But he's saying whether it's pious or impious, on earth or in heaven, in this life or the next, it's temporary and useless, and thus should not even be thought of. And what to speak of engaging in it? He is the true knower of the self. So just see how much time one's putting to-do lists of things that they shouldn't be doing. So you're wasting your time doing things that are, as it says here, temporary. They're useless. And you don't even understand who you are. And he says, if you actually want to be happy, you must give up these unsatisfied desires, knowing them to be the cause of all tribulations. So he's very great. He's very, very, he came to his senses and he's realizing what he needs to do. The to-do list is, you want to become happy, just give up the sense gratification. That's the first thing. That's the first thing you're taught in Gurukul. Give up sense gratification. And then to care for others. And he cared for his wife. So not only did he rescue her from the well, but she also achieved liberation and bondage as well from this story that we heard. So in the purport, there's some very nice references Srila Prabhupada gives. And there's one more point I wanted to make here. How someone asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, we're all brahmacharis, we're engaged in Krishna consciousness, and how come we're not advancing as fast as we should be advancing? What's the matter? And he said, because you have intestinal worms. And these intestinal worms are taking all your energy, right? If you have worms in your digestive tract, then you don't get the energy from the food because the worms are taking it all. And what are those two worms that you have? Is selfishness and secret bad habits. See, this is what's happening. This is how we should have been trained from the beginning, right? A lot of us came to Krishna consciousness. We had so many bad habits. And we're so selfish. And you see how in societies and in families, everyone is so selfish. It's like a fight between everybody. Who gets this, who gets that. So in the same way, we have to become selfless. We have to actually have concern for others. And we have to have really, really good habits. Not make a show of a devotee and then quietly, secretly, you're doing all kinds of nonsense. So this is character. This is what it means. This is real value. This is real attractiveness. This is what we should be developing from the beginning of our life, from the youth of our life. This is the whole purpose of the Vanashram system, is to gradually train us in self-control and care for others. And Krishna comes himself to demonstrate that. Let me go to some references here I had. In the purport you see here, Prabhupada mentions it twice here. Hitvatma patam griham andakupam. The existence of the dark well is very suicidal. And this is what we're like in the mature world. It's like that well. From the top, from the bottom, from the sides. It's very dangerous. So we have to be very careful. So what does he recommend? Vanamgo yad darim ashrayata. So Prabhupada gives a reference to that verse in the seventh canto where Prahlad Maharaj is talking to his father. And you know, his father's thinking he's a small boy. You know, he has no actual experience. He can't really tell me anything practical. But he's a small boy and he knows everything's practical. What to do? What's your to-do list? So he tells him, "O best of the asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of a falling into a dark well where there's no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take up the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So this is Prahlad Maharaj giving his father, educating his father actually. And Prabhupada gives a very nice purport to this verse. And I'll just read part of it here. It's very nice, he says. He quotes a verse from the fifth canto. "One who has unflinching devotion, faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications because he is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord." So probably that's a verse from the fifth canto. And then Prabhupada goes on. "So-called educated philosophers and scientists are simply on the mental platform, cannot distinguish between what is actually sat, eternal, and what is asat, temporary." So here we are. These are the what's useless and what is actually useful. Anything that's eternal is definitely useful. The Vedic injunction is asato ma gad gamaya. Asato ma sad gamaya. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Elsewhere it is said, he quotes from the second canto, "Those who are attached to the bodily conception of life and who thus stick to life as a grihastha or householder on the platform of material sense enjoyment cannot see the welfare of the eternal soul." So your soul, that's where your vision is, where your focus is. You're looking somewhere, so you can't even understand. You can't see the welfare of the soul. Prahlad Maharaj confirmed this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what his self-interest is and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. See, it's so important, huh? From the beginning of life, you're molding it in such a way so that you can attain spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be part and parcel of Krishna, and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for guaranteed spiritual success. So this is the real success. This is what you should be doing to save time. Everyone in the material world is in the bodily conception, struggling hard for existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of repeat and birth of death, one should go to the forest, the vana. So that's very nice. So let's see, I had some more really nice references. Maybe we could read a few of these, which are very nice. Let's see if we could find them. So, there's a very nice verse. It's so important. This is from the 11th canto. Actually, not that one yet. Let's go back. Give it a chance to sink in a little bit, and then we'll hear what Prabhupada has to say and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so some another. Let's see. Anyway, as we know, Srila Prabhupada Maharaj, Srila Prahlad Maharaj mentioned how this sense gratification, sex life, is like rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. So he calls them grihamedis, so-called grihastas, have no spiritual knowledge. They think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, but actually it's a source of distress. So another confirmation of Yayati also realized it was just a source of distress. And the kripanas, they're just the opposite of the brahmanas. So they're sober and they tolerate it. And they are not subject to sufferings of fools and rascals. And Prabhupada used a very nice verse, how he mentioned how the life of Jamunacharya in this connection, when he was very much attached to sex life, but once he became engaged in transcendental loving service of Krishna, he realized ever new pleasure. And whenever he would think of sex life somewhere or another, he would just spit at the thought. So this is how he would just become disgusted with this thought of sexual enjoyment. So in the same way, King Yayati also became disgusted with sense enjoyment, and he actually renounced it. He became liberated, and he helped his wife become liberated. So in the 11th canto, there's a description of how a very nice prayer of glorifying Krishna, who came as Lord Chaitanya, and who actually came to the forest of this material world, you know, came to the forest, and he was making the animals dance and chant, literally. But also he was actually helping the conditioned souls. He was chasing after them, giving them Krishna consciousness, giving them the highest platform of love of Godhead, simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord. And also we see Lord Krishna, he actually came to the material world in the plea of his parents for protection, fear from Kamsa, he was sent to the forest of Vrindavan. And in the forest of Vrindavan, he was there, you know. It's described how he was like a doll in the hands of Radharani, where she loved him so much that he would just run here and there to try to please her and please his devotees all over Vrindavan. And in the same way, we have Lord Ram. We just read about Lord Ram, how he also, on the plea of his father, or requested by his father to go to the forest. And there he chased the illusory deer to try to please Sita. So in the same way, Krishna comes as a sad buja. These three different, he has six arms. Two arms, Lord Chaitanya carrying the pot and his staff. And two arms of Lord Ram carrying his bow and arrow. And then Krishna, you know, carrying his flute. So this is the description of how Krishna comes to the material world to help reclaim the conditioned souls. So in the same way, we're getting trained by Srila Prabhupada to go out and care for others. And therefore we give people these transcendental literatures, especially this time of year, during the holidays where people are interested in trying to, you know, care for others, please others, get them gifts. So the devotees are actually given the ultimate gift of Krishna consciousness through these transcendental literatures at this time of year. So we have to be very grateful. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, we are, the Krishna consciousness movement is a servant of these hogs and dogs. Because we want to lift them up. Where this is the forest of the material illusion. And people are acting like animals. So therefore we must enlighten them and give them this knowledge. So we're chasing after them. Just as Krishna chases after. So this is what King Yati did. He actually went to the forest. And, you know, he was engaged in Krishna consciousness. So this is our mission. The Krishna consciousness mission. To help others, to care for others, and to develop this character. This real character. So that's real attractiveness. So thank you very much. Is there any comments or questions? Realizations? Jai. Well, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam.